at some things, and I'm not going to go through this. It hadn't been long since I went through this a lot of times in chapter 3 and the trends and everything. But I want you to notice some things down here. And verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you are a believer in Christ, you're going to suffer. Physically, mentally, you'll suffer. Some more than others, but you'll suffer. Verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now these evil men, I believe, goes back to verse 5 of the chapter, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 8, he uses the illustration of Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these, those that have a form of godliness, the evil men and seducers. So do these also resist the truth. They resist the message of Paul. They resist the preaching of the Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. But they'd rather preach the traditions of men and the doctrines of their denomination instead of the Word of God rightly divided. They resist it. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They're void. They don't have a comprehension of that faith that Paul preached. Verse 7 says, "They're ever learning." They might have the PhDs and the THDs behind their names. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the world we live in today. That's what is filling the pulpits today, that people's listening to. And you as a member of the body of Christ, because of it, and you believe in the King James Bible, you believe that it is without error the Word of God, and we have a freedom today that we can come, and I thank God for it, that we can assemble ourselves together in this building and preach the Word of God rightly divided and have the opportunity to fellowship one with another. And men gave their lives so that you can enjoy this. Even though I look at this country and sometimes it just, oh man, it makes me mad to see the way the things are going. And all the badness that I see and the rottenness of the sinful and wickedness of men. And I look at it, but yet in my heart, I get down and I thank God that I'm still in America and I still have the liberty to preach the Word of God rightly divided. It's still the best country in the world. And I'm grateful for that. And we're losing freedoms right and left. And we live in illusion of freedom sometime on certain issues. If I say the wrong thing, just like a man said the wrong thing and it got on YouTube and it went viral and all the way, and then the next thing, you know, there was television reporters and cameras at his church, and they were all over the newscast what he said. Freedom? Illusion of freedom. Say the wrong thing at your workplace. Say the wrong idea, whatever. See what happens to you. Freedom. But yet we are free so far. But I believe the time is coming, if the Lord doesn't come back because of these evil men and seducers, I believe the next thing on the agenda of Satan is to attack God's Word. Since the early 1900s and 1880 some, when the RSV came out, you know, I was reading that book you've got is the number one selling book in the world. And God used this country and God used this certain men and the printing press to get His Word out. And it was covering the world. And so Satan comes along and he comes out with a different translation. And since then, there's hundreds of translations that come out and they make people believe that they're just a better translation of the King James, and they deceive the people and they don't tell the people that all of these other versions comes from a different text. And they change the Word of God into a lie. And they serve the creature more than the Creator. And for this cause, God has given them up to a reprobate mind. A mind that's a junkyard. That's what it is. A mind that is void of the truth. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want no authority over them. That's why people don't want to come here. I know people that would come here, but you know why they don't come here? They're afraid they'd be obligated to come. And they like their freedom. Some freedom's good, some ain't. But notice this thing about this. Seducers. I was thinking and studying. Verse 13 said, but evil men and seducers. That word seducers, you know what the Greek word for seduce is? It's used one time here. G-O-E-S. You know what that spells? Huh? Goes, don't it? That's the word. And I got to thinking about that. You know what that word means? And I looked it up in the Greek dictionary. A juggler. Somebody that fascinates people. You know that? You see somebody out here and they got four or five balls and they're just doing this or what is them pins or something and they're just flipping them up. Would you stop and look at them? Come on, would you? Don't tell me you wouldn't look at them. A seducer, he's a juggler. He's somebody that fascinates people. Have you ever heard somebody say, boy, what a message. Oh, God. Yeah, what did he teach you? Well, I don't know, but he really brought it out. And what they're meaning is not what they say, but how they say it. People are more interested in how you perform instead of what you say. He's a juggler. Do you know what else he is? He's a cheat. What? That's what a seducer is, a cheat. He defrauds people. You know what that word defraud is? Keeping back that belongs to them. Now do you know something? When a preacher or a teacher gets up here And there are truths in this Bible that God wants you to know, and they keep them from you. He has defrauded that church, those people. So, he's an imposter. And I like this one. He's a wailer. You say, well, that's you. The wailer who howls. Now I'm telling you, this is in the dictionary. You can go home and get a little Vine's expository dictionary of Greek New Testament words, and you can look it up yourself. Howls like, oh, howls. In which spells were chanted. You know, chanted over and over, vain repetition. A wizard, sorcerer, enchanter. They use magical power. Our modern day word would be an illusionist. What does people do today? They want a miracle. Look for a miracle. I've seen a sign was coming up there. Come and get your miracle. Like, you know, we got them on sale. Tent Revival. Come and get your miracle. Underneath, God has a miracle for you. And all of these men that gets people up there and slays them in the spirit, that's an enchanter, that's a wailer, that's one that howls, that's the one that casts his spells on people. You say, well, I've never heard such. Turn back, look, hang on to Timothy and turn back to Acts. And look in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, notice in verse, I'm just going to go in verse, they go down there, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. They were performing miracles and things. And there was great joy in that city. Now watch verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used what? Sorcery. And bewitched the people of Samaria, given out that himself was some great one. He bewitched the people. He used sorcery. He had magical, probably a speaker. He could do certain things. Verse 10, to whom they all agreed, the city, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Simon was an illusionist. Simon was a sorcerer. Simon gave himself out to be as a great man of God. And on the thing goes. Sorcery. Turn over to Galatians and look in Galatians. And notice in Galatians, in chapter 3, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." How was they bewitching the people? Turn back to chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you." Well, who called the Galatians? Who you reckon called the Galatians? Who went to Galatia? Who went to the churches of Galatia with the gospel? Paul did. What was these people trying to do? They were trying to remove the Galatian people from Paul. And he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." That word "another" is an altered gospel. They add to the gospel. They have great power. They're great orators. They preach with authority. And on the thing goes. They cause people to have chill bumps, goosebumps. The same spirit. And I've told this. You ever been at a football game? I know you have. Probably going to be going a couple months. Have you ever been there and the crowd there and all of a sudden somebody on your team, maybe one of your family members or you're out there playing and they intercept the pass or they catch a pass or they recover a fumble and down the sidelines they go. And you know the crowd gets a-going, don't they? What do? Stand up, start hollering, clapping, and you're sitting there, makes you want to shout. That same spirit, that same rejoicing, that's what goes on in churches. We went over there years ago and heard a man preach, and me and June sitting in the back seat. Well, it was in the back seat. It was in the back seat of the church. And we was back there, and there's two guys standing on the stand, and I'm sitting here, and the choir's up there singing. They're standing right there. I'm watching them. And this one guy, he's facing this, my back toward me, and the other's facing me like this, and they're talking. All of a sudden, this turns around and goes, "Woo!" Turns back around and keeps talking. And when he goes, "Woo!" like that, there's somebody else up there, and they go, "Woo!" back at him. I thought it reminded me of coon hunting when you're out there and you're chasing your dogs, and you go, "Woo! Speak to me," and the other goes, "Oh, oh." I mean, it gets comical. I sat there and watched. Then the guy preached, and they sung 15 standards of "Just As I Am," trying to get everybody in the church up there. And June's here; she knows I'm telling the truth. I looked at her and I said, "They sing one more standard, I'm going out that door." Just a mess. The Lord's not glorified at all. You know what is exalted? Man. You know why? How it exalts them? They feel like they're closer to God than anybody else because God is on them. Unbelievable. The gospel was not presented. Nothing about the gospel. Nothing about Christ. Nothing to glory in the Lord about. That's seducing. That's bewitching. Paul said there that they were called. Verse 7 in Galatians, he said, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert." change, alter the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong language. You know that? And finally he tells them that he wished that they would even cut off that troubled them. Back in Timothy, these men are seducers, they're enchanters. They perform miracles in the sight of men to deceive them. And don't ever let nobody tell you that Satan does not have power. He does. In fact, if you want to see his power, turn to 2 Thessalonians. And take 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. Talking about Satan. I'll go back and read verse 8. He said, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." That's the Antichrist. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." Then Satan has all power, signs and lying wonders. He can perform miracles. He can do things. He has power. He has caused a man to have boils on the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He afflicted Job. He took down Job's family, killed them if you please. Wiped them out, all of his house, all of his stock. I mean, he took, stripped Job of every financial thing that he had. And Job's sitting down in a pot of a thing of ashes, scraping them boils, and with a pot sure, a broken piece of pottery, and he's down there miserable in pain. You know who done that? That was Satan done that. He has power. In fact, look with me, turn over to Revelation and look in Revelation. And people today want this. They want miracles. They want power. They want signs and wonders. They want to feel God. They want to feel, see it, feel it, touch it, handle it. And yet, Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. God gave us a book, and that book is all we have. And Paul said he completed the Word of God for us, even the mystery. He fulfilled the Word of God for you. All you need from God, all you need to survive and live in this world, you have it in your lap. You'll read it. Look in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, notice in verse 14. Well, I'll tell you what, this guy here is a beast, he's a false prophet, verse 13, and he goeth, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Then there's miracles there that this man done. Look in chapter 16. In chapter 16, notice in verse 14. In 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they," these spirits, "are the spirits of devils, working" what? "Miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty." I mean, they work miracles, folks. Don't you get it? In the last days we're living in, you see, their people want to see things. They want miraculous signs. They're looking for things. And Satan will give it to them. And one time, I mean, whenever they get that, it's hard to get them out of it. But what is it? We got four safeguards, and I'm going to let you go, and I promise you, I'm not going to hold you too much longer. You like for me to teach because you get out early at preaching, don't you? I know. I want you to notice something, four things. Turn back with me to Timothy. So how are you going to keep from getting deceived? How are you going to keep from it? He says there in 2 Timothy, evil men and seducers is going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But notice what he says in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Number one, you got to continue with Paul. While we're there in Timothy, turn back to 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, the doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue in the doctrine. If you do that, you save yourself and them that hear thee. Save yourself from what? Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Folks, I believe that's believers in the body of Christ. They depart from the faith. Why? They begin to listen to these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I believe there are people that are saved today that's in the body of Christ that's caught up in that stuff in the denominational systems out there. And their only hope of ever getting out is to follow Paul and hear Paul and the doctrine of Paul. So how do you keep yourself from out of that? You avoid them. You stay away from them. Look back in Acts. Look at this type back there in Acts. Acts chapter 26, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry, 27. Acts 27. Acts 27. Look what he says there. Paul's on a ship and it's going down. You know that poor guys, he said there in 2 Corinthians, is shipwrecked Christ. I can imagine them Luke and them following Paul wherever he went, and every time he got on the boat, I bet they thought, oh gosh, we'll be going down. But look what he said there. Paul, they get on the boat. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Why cannot they be saved? Because Paul's in that ship. Look back with me in verse 23, or verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. Ship's going to get destroyed, but man is not. For There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I want to tell you, you know why they had to remain in the ship? Because if they jumped the ship, got out of the ship, God didn't promise to save them. He promised to save them that sailed with Paul, and he said, except you abide in the ship. That's a good typology, folks. You know why people today are in shipwreck today? Their faith is in shipwreck. They don't know what they believe. It's because they got away from Paul. And in the dispensation of grace, you follow Paul. If you're going to follow the Lord, if you're not following Paul, you're not following the Lord. And you're shipwrecked. In fact, look back with me in verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice he says there in verse 18, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and of a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith. They put it away, have made shipwrecked. Are you shipwrecked today? I mean, folks, is your faith not counted to you as nothing? I mean, you put it away? If you have, you're shipwrecked. You need to get back in the ship with Paul. Folks, this doctrine that Paul forgive you from the Lord, he just didn't write it down out of the imagination of his heart. God gave him Romans through Philemon. And it's to you. That's a personal letter that God gave to you as a member of the body of Christ. It ought to be the most important thing in your life. I never get tired of reading. And I read it. I read it and read it and read it and read it and learn every time I read it. I go through the epistles of Paul. And when I talk about going through them, and I'm not going to tell you how I go through them, but I go through Romans through Philemon, Romans through Philemon, over and over and over. And I learn. And I learn and I learn and I learn, and it never gets old. It never gets tiresome. I love it. I eat it. I abstain it. I count it as more than my necessary food. Why don't you? You won't follow the Lord? Start reading Romans through Philemon. Go through the book. So I don't have time. Well, I'd take time. You got time. You can read them. I mean, and I can't tell you how much I read because I don't want to set no standards. Read everything you're comfortable with, whether it's one chapter a day or two chapters a day. But read. Let it go in there and let it guide your life and meditate upon it. That's the only thing that's going to keep you out of false doctrine. And then when false doctrine comes around and says, that's not Pauline truth. Somebody comes along and tells you, oh, you can lose your salvation. I don't believe in that one saved, always saved. That's not what Romans 8 says. Where do you get that out? Well, Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, Hebrews. Yeah. and Hebrews over there, they can lose theirs. But I'm not in that time period. Well, Revelation said, you can have your name blotted out of the book. Oh, yeah, Revelation. That's to them servants over there that's going through the tribulation. Oh, yeah, that's not to me. I'm not one of the servants. Well, I believe church is going through the tribulation. Oh, well, wait a minute. Romans 5 says we shall be saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, we waiting for Jesus who shall deliver us from the wrath to come. God chapter 5, God has not appointed us unto wrath. Oh, that's not Pauline truth. I don't believe that. But if you didn't know them scriptures, when they come along, you say, oh, really? Wow. I'll have to ask my preacher about that. You see what I'm getting at, folks? The Word of God can guide you, keep you safe, protect you, if you'll just let it. Don't be a part of the most biggest denomination in the world. You know what that is? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Over and over, Paul says that. You know why I preach right division? I harp on certain things like I'm doing today. Well, I don't want you ignorant. I'd put y'all up against anybody. I could have a good old Baptist come in here and he could preach on water baptism. Wouldn't bother me a bit, would it you? You know why he's preaching on water baptism? I'd be sitting over there thinking the scriptures contradicting him. Nah, that's not right. Nah, you're wrong on that. That's why I can't go to these churches. Because you sit out there, ain't right. What are you saying that for? Well, you should, you dumb cluck. That ain't right. Say, well, you just smarty pants. No, I'm not. Folks, I don't know nothing, but I do know right division. Paul said, you got to continue and end the doctrine. Now, notice something else about this. I believe in verse 10 now. Back in 2 Timothy 3:10. He said there, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. And he said to continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. But next he says in that verse, you know my manner of life. I want you to look at something with me and we're going to close. I promise you. Look in Galatians. You'll get out before tomorrow. Look in Galatians. Last Sunday we dealt, or tried to, I think, about sin and sins. The old nature produces sin. But look what he says in Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. He says there in verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. You know who's crucified with Christ? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Are you crucified with Christ? What part of you is crucified with Christ? That old man. You hang on there. You don't have to turn with me. Let me turn there and read it to you. And I'm coming right back to Galatians. But in Romans chapter 6, notice what he said in verse 6. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. You that are trusted Christ, your old man has been crucified, put to death as far as God is concerned. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. What part about Paul was alive? Y'all don't know? If you got an old man, what do you reckon it's going, what I'm going to write? A new man. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. The not I would be the old man. But Christ liveth in me. Where does Christ live in you at? In your heart? Remember about the heart? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Where does Christ live at? If any man be in Christ, he is therefore a what? New creature. All things is passed away, but all things are become new. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Folks, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ that you ought to be doing that too. Well, I'm saved. I can do anything I want. No, you can't. Listen, you're not to yield your members to the old man. You're to put off that old man. Why? He's dead. You're to reckon him dead. You're to... Listen, people that get saved, there's a change that comes in their life. And that's what's missing today. If you ever trust Christ as your Savior, your life will change. Your attitude will change. Your thinking will change. You'll be alive unto God and you'll want to serve Him. You won't always do that that you need to do. But look what he says in verse 20. He said, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, and that is the truth, people today, they're not taught. But he said, have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, you put him on. It's a daily thing. How do you put him on? You by the Word of God, folks. That's why it's important to read Romans through Philemon. That's putting him on. You want to be like him. You want him to have control. Colossians 3:10 says the same thing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, you know my manner of life. He said there in verse 9, isn't this something to write this to people that are saved? He said, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You know what putting it off is? You try to stop. You just don't do things that you normally would do. You just don't do it. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You renew yourself, and it's a daily thing. It's every day you renew yourself. Lord, give me grace. You read. You study. Give me grace. And you just don't yield to this old man and his deeds. You put them off. This is the man that you want to walk. You know what this man is? You want to be conformed to the image of his son. You want to be more like Christ. Where's Christ you find? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No, Christ the head of the body in Romans through Philemon. I'll give you one verse. This thing, I'm trying to get the tractor train slowed down. Notice what he says there. In verse there, chapter in Philippians, he says there in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And there, and he goes on, he talks about in chapter 2, verse 3, talking to the people, he said, let nothing be done through strife. That's doing things despite people. Strife. That's doing things to just, not because you want to, but because you want to show somebody a strife against them. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's doing it so you can be seen. But in lowliness of mind, let each, and I could put the members of the body, esteem other members of the body better than themselves. That's your attitude that you should have one to another. Put off the old man. Be renewed. Paul said, you remember my doctrine, my manner of life, in verse 10, and the last thing was his purpose. He said to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's our job. That's what we're here for, is to get the gospel out. I received an email, and so I got it this week. This email was from a family in Trapp Hill. Where is Trapp Hill at? Okay. She'd been watching us on YouTube. This lady, her children, her mother, and her dad found us on YouTube. And she wrote and asked directions how to get, well, if we're coming from Jonesville, how to get to the church. And she said they was going to try to come. And she thanked us for putting it on the internet, where she could see it. And they watch it every Sunday. Now, why did I tell you that? Folks, you never know what the Lord is doing. Me and June was in Gatlinburg, sitting on a pew bench out there on the street, watching the people go by. That's our entertainment. By the way, when you get our age, that's what you got to look forward to.